Today is a special Sunday for us. Is this on? Yeah? No? Today is a special Sunday for us. We get to welcome these new fifth graders, now sixth graders, into our youth group. And I want to let you know this is not a misprint. There are 26, and I'm actually going to add two more names to that list. They're not all here this morning. But I think we have about 23 or so here this morning. It is a special group. One, it's huge, but special, very talented, some awesome, awesome kids. We have been blessed to get to hang out with them. We had 13 or 14 of y'all join us for Duct Tape, where we got to know you a little more. And then yesterday we spent all day playing and then hung out with you and your families last night for a special time. And I'm excited this morning. When I was growing up, my uncle is a basketball coach, and I always looked up to him a lot. There was just something about Jeff, my uncle Jeff, that I looked up to a lot. He was a coach. And so a part of me always kind of wanted to be a coach. I didn't know what sport, but I just liked just the mentoring, just what came through being a coach. And so, but I didn't ended up not being a coach. But as I get more and more into youth ministry, there's more and more things about youth ministry that remind me of coaching. And today, I feel like a coach in that I love college football, and college football is about to start up again. And today, I feel like there's a day in February called National Signing Day for college football coaches, okay? And these college football coaches have recruited these players for like 2 or 3 years. And they spent all this time, and they've recruited these guys, and they have this big class. And on that day, they get to talk about these kids. Up until that day, college coaches cannot talk about those players, or it's a violation of NCAA law. They'll get in trouble. And so they spend all these time, they recruit these kids, they're all excited about them. But up until that day in February, they cannot talk about them publicly. They can talk about them with coaches, but they cannot talk about these players publicly. And so I feel like kind of like that today, in that I've known a lot of these families and these students for a couple years. And I knew they were coming, and I was like, oh, they're coming in 2 years, or they're coming in 3 years, and today y'all finally get to come join us. This is our class of 2009, or however you want to say it. So what I want to do this morning is briefly kind of introduce these guys to you. So when I call your name, if you'll come up here, Kenzie and I think Lucas and Cadence are going to pass out the Bibles. And when you get your Bible, if you would, cram into these front two rows and stay down here. So y'all can do it. First one, McKaylee Adams. Keely Bond. Nick Bandy. Haley Brown. Clay Burkham. Avery Corder. Slade Downs. Chris DeRue. Clayton Evans. Randy Evans. Y'all squeeze in, come on. Ruby Guerra. Brett Hardigree. Stephen Mashburn. Tuesday McClure. Megan McLaughlin. Also good in. Brett. Cole Nash. Mundy Peter. Gabrielle Rollins. Ty Ray. Amy Rhodes. Peyton Wittar. Hillary Womack. Womack. Sorry. Is that better? Womack. And Max Wiley. Is that everybody? I think. Okay. Are you obviously right over here, Max? Hillary, you can sit over here if you want. Whatever. If you have been around our student ministry for very long, over the last 10 to 15 years, we have been about pretty much the same thing. We have been about making disciples. That's what we want. I think y'all, if you don't know that, you'll hear that over and over through the next few years. But we want to, our desire, our dream, is that you become disciples of Christ. That you give your life to Him, give Him everything, and become a disciple of Christ. And that we have a blast figuring out what that means. I always knew this, but recently, I think through this summer and a couple of things that have happened this summer, this realization has kind of sunk in more and more. And that is that if I'm going to be a disciple of Christ, if y'all are going to give your life to Christ, then you desperately need to encounter His love, to experience His love, to fall in love with God. That if we're going to give our lives to this guy named Jesus Christ, we got to experience His love. We have to encounter His love. And so my prayer, my hope for y'all over the next 7 years is that you come to encounter the love of God, that you experience His love, that you, that it just becomes so real. And my question for you, church, is have you? Have you experienced the love of God? Is it real? Francis Chan, in his book Crazy Love, he starts a chapter by talking about this idea. And he says for the majority of his life, he grew up in the church, for the majority of his life, he knew God is love. He knew that. He knew that God loves him, that God loves us. He says if you would have given him a test that said, what is God like, he would have known to write, God is love. He knew that. God is love. But he says that it hit him. He knew that, but he didn't know it. He knew it in knowledge. He knew that God is love. He'd heard it over and over. He knew the verses in the Bible that talked about God is love. But he had never experienced it before. He had never fully encountered the love of God. And so my hope for y'all and my question for the church is the love of God, is it knowledge or is it reality? Is it an idea or is it truth? Is it something we talk about or is it something that we live in every day? That the God of this universe is crazy in love with us. I want to read a couple verses that y'all all know and have heard. But I just want to read them again. Listen to these. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:6-8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that God is love, right? We've heard these verses, we've read these verses, we've underlined these verses, we've done VBS on these verses, we know these verses. Do we know it? Have we experienced it? Is it reality? Well, I'll start off by saying I am a perfectionist by nature. If you know me, you can agree to that. Kinsey would probably amen that. And it's good and it's bad, as you know. And I think God probably gets a good laugh out of me, a perfectionist, working with middle school and high school students where nothing goes perfect. Nothing goes according to plan. You can plan the trip. You can get the detailed scheduling. Something's going to happen. It's never going to go perfect. And so about a month ago, we embarked on a trip with some of these high school students over here going to San Diego, California. And whole point of the trip was to look at what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? And what is this crazy love that we read about in here? What's it about? Is it real? And how do we experience it? So we were going on this trip, and I'd been praying because I'd planned out the trip. I knew that Friday afternoon, I was going to give them an hour, however long. I was going to challenge them. You have an hour to just go be with God. Just go be with Him. I'd planned it out in my mind. I knew I wanted to go to this beach where there were these cliffs, and it would just be beautiful, and we'd sit out there, and we would have our Bibles, and we would just read through it, engage it, and do some journaling and pray, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And so we get out there that day, and this is where I wasn't perfect, didn't plan right. We get out there, and it's a Friday afternoon in the middle of July in California, and the beach is just packed. It's just packed. And we had gone. I wanted to go. There's this place called Torrey Pines Beach in La Jolla, and there's these awesome 200-300-foot cliffs, and then the beach is right there. And if you know San Diego just has incredible weather. It's like 70 degrees, maybe 80, you know, on a hot day. And for some reason on this day, it was hot, right? It was like 90 degrees, and it was kind of humid, and for some reason, just where we were, the breeze wasn't really coming through, and it was just hot. And so we get out there, and the beach is just packed, and it's hot. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not how I'd pictured it in my head. And so I just prayed. I was like, God, please, would you show up? Would you show up? Would you show these students how much you love them? Would you be real? And so I gave them their sheets. I challenged them. I said, here you go. You got an hour. Go be with God. And we came back that night, and we were sitting around a little campfire, and we were talking about our day and having our Devo, and I saw some students who, for the first time, had encountered the love of God. I saw that look in their eyes. They sat around and talked about how God had been real to them that day in a way they'd never experienced before. As they looked at the waves and read in here, and they had experienced the love of God. And I know for many of them, their lives will never be the same because they encountered it. And that is my hope for y'all, that you encounter the love of God. And that's my question for you, church. Have we encountered the love of God? Is it an idea or is it reality? I wish that there was a formula, you know, that A plus B, then C, you encounter the love of God. But it's not like that, right? But I know just from looking in here and looking at the life of Christ and looking at my life, there's some things that I know I can do that bring me into relationship with God, that bring me into the love of God. First thing, these Bibles that y'all hold, we didn't just give them to you because it's tradition on sixth grade blessing Sunday that we give you a Bible and you get your name in it and all that. We gave you that because we believe is powerful, that it's a love letter from God. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. I hope these verses that I read, the stories in there, will become real. That those truths of God's love will become real. That over the next 7 years, as we look at what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ, that you wear that Bible out. That you mark all in, the pages are kind of falling apart a little bit because you've just been reading it. Because this, I believe more and more, is God's love letter to us. Just saying, this is what I want for you. This is what I see in you. This is how much I love you. Second thing I know to do, where I have found and experienced, probably the first place where I encountered the love of God, was a fueling event, was at a camp. And we talk about this a lot, but I hope y'all will join us when we get away. When we get away from the busyness of school and the frustrations or joys of school and friends and all that. When we get away and we go on retreats, we go to San Diego, we go on camps, we go mission trips, when we do that, when we get away, I hope you will bless us with your presence. And I pray like crazy you will encounter the love of God there. And the last one I found, maybe one of the most powerful, where I have seen the love of God, is here. In this church. I hope you find it in this youth group. That you will bless us with your presence. That you'll come. And that you'll find that love of God and you'll find to give it to others. We have a video that I want to show that shows what I want this church, this youth group, to be for y'all as we go on this journey of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. What is this love of God all about? We want to go with you. And this kind of illustrates that.
Position, get your body on your man, and explode to the ball. All right? Let's go. Got it. You got it?
That's good.
What's your pass?
Up, Jake.
Come
in,
guys.
Go, hustle up.
Yo, bring it in, y'all. Hustle up.
All right, that's it for today. We have a game tomorrow, so get some rest tonight. And remember, ties and jackets tomorrow. Clay. Mr. Cruz, I'm impressed with what you've done, but you came up short. You owe me 80 suicides and 500 push-ups. Please leave my gym. Thanks, Clyde. Gentlemen, see you tomorrow.
I'll do push-ups for him. You said we're a team. One person struggles and we all struggle. One player triumphs, we all triumph, right?
I'll do some. I'll run suicides too.
I do some too.
Quiet. Keep count. Call me when they're done.
One person struggles, we all struggle. One person triumphs, we all triumph. I think that's kind of what Christ intended when he set up the church, that we do this together. And I hope, over these next 7 years, as we run after Christ and we learn what it means to be a disciple, we're not supposed to do that alone. We're not supposed to do that. It's not a solitary pursuit. We want to join with you in that. We want to help you when it seems impossible. You got 80 sprints and 500 push-ups and there's no way it's going to happen, that you have a family here. You have friends here. You have brothers and sisters here who will help you, who will pick you back up, who will run with you, who will walk with you, who will support you. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to ask you all to come up here and stand right up here. And anybody else in this church who wants to commit to supporting these guys, to walking with them, to running with them, to showing them the love of God, so these next 7 years are not a lonely pursuit, I want to ask you to come and circle around. Put a hand on them, and then Mike's going to lead us in prayer. So sixth graders, come up here. Anybody else who wants to come and show your support, come on.
Where'd they go? There was a bunch of sixth graders right here a while ago. You guys and girls see all these eyes looking at you? We love you. And you're part of us now. And we're going to walk with you. And we're going to ask God to hold us all together to the very end of the journey. Okay? So let's pray. Dear Father, you are the great I am, the one and only true God. And Father, we bow face down before you now. And first, we thank you for these beautiful young men and women and the blessing they are to us. And the light in their eyes, Father, and the hope in their hearts. We're so thankful for them. And God, we want to covenant with you at this time. We as a church promise to you that we'll show them the way and we'll be faithful. And Father, we ask you, covenant with us that not a one of them will be lost, and they will walk with us all the way to heaven. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us how, and thank you for making it possible through your blood. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Sixth graders, why don't y'all, you can go back and sit with your families. Here's my question. Do you know how much God loves you? Did you get a glimpse of it right there? how much this church, how much these people love you. And God loves you so much more than that. I want to ask the elders and ministers to take their place around the church. Here's my hope, and I said this earlier. Sixth graders, I hope you encounter the love of God. I hope it becomes real. I pray that you experience it. And church, is the love of God real? Is it an idea or is it reality? Is it something we talk about or is it something we live in? Is it just knowledge or is it truth? You may feel like that guy in that video, that your week has been brutal. You have 80 sprints to run and 500 push-ups. We want to surround you too. We want to surround these sixth graders and love them, but we want to surround you too. That's why these people are all around the room. Because this is not meant to be a lonely, isolated pursuit of God. We're meant to do this in community. And so if you're struggling, please come. If you've seen and encountered the love of God maybe this morning and seeing this, and you want to respond, you want to give your life to Him, you want to take Him on and be baptized, come. Whatever you need, come as we stand and sing.